Urban Water District Board of Trustees for May 18th, 2026. This is the first time set aside for a public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, please come forward, state and spell your name for the record. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Laura McSwain with the Water Fairness Coalition, MCSWAIN. I'm here on agenda item number 9. And as you all know, that you are the fiduciaries responsible for oversight, transparency, and ensuring this public utility remains aligned with its public purpose. Residents continue to be told that desalination, flood water capture, importation, and long-term water augmentation projects are simply too expensive. But after reviewing these budget documents, I believe the public deserves to consider a different framing. Maybe the augmentation is not too expensive. Maybe it is simply less lucrative for the agency than the current model of escalating rates, conservation enforcement, penalties, administrative expansion, and reserve accumulation. The financial documents project unrestricted net position growing to more than $733 million by June 30th, 2026, while total net assets are projected to exceed $3.1 billion. At the same time, salaries and benefits exceed $181 million annually. Operating expenses exceed $81 million, and no transfers of reserves are anticipated. And the current reserve balance itself is not clearly presented in the document being approved today, which I find concerning. The Springs Preserve is just one example where transparency is lacking. Approximately $7.5 million in capital expenditures appear connected to preserve projects, while another $1.2 million evaporative cooling replacement project tied to the preserve is listed separately under engineering rather than consolidated with other preserve expenditures. So the public is left asking a very basic question. What is the true total cost once all related expenditures are combined across departments? In another example, public services alone reflects approximately $23 million annually, including more than $11 million in salaries and benefits and over $3 million in other operating expenses. We can reasonably expect that expenditures such as the $800,000 R&R partners contract and related public outreach costs are included within these categories because no clear accounting is allocation is provided. And when residents are simultaneously being told, use less water, remove landscaping, accept increasing restrictions, and pay higher rates and penalties, ratepayers naturally begin questioning whether the agency's financial incentives remain aligned with its nonprofit public service mission. Every dollar spent outside the core charter of this agency is not a dollar spent on actual water augmentation. That is why I believe this board should commission an independent forensic audit examining reserve practices, departmental cost allocation, capital project classification, and whether current financial incentives remain aligned with the agency's public purpose. Transparency is your responsibility, and right now the public does not have it. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good morning. Diane Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, Coley Avenue. Item 8. I've had some concerns with your low-income leak repair programs in the past. Handing recurring $50,000 buckets of money to the recipients, such as plumbers unions, nonprofits, or in this case, the City of Las Vegas, to fund leak detection and repair for hand-picked homeowners, which will save some water if done in a timely manner, but more on that later. And you do require expense reports be filed after the money's spent, but the cost of plumbing repairs can vary so widely depending on the specifics of each job that it's going to be difficult to verify if the billing was reasonable. And regarding potential fraud, item 23 of the contract states that all violations of criminal law involving fraud, bribery, or gratuity violations potentially affecting this agreement must be reported in a timely manner in writing to the district. Well, if fraud or bribery were to occur, I'd certainly hope it would at least be reported. You also want to raise maximum payments to $10,000 per leak, which may be exceeded with written permission. What kinds of home leak repairs cost over $10,000? Will you also be funding replacing people's water softeners, water heaters, fixtures, or pool equipment? What types of expenses are permitted? I've dealt with serious water main leaks many times in the decades I've owned my old home. Repairs with detection rarely exceed $2,000, including asphalt repair, although the SNWA Water Smart Plumber I got an estimate from for my last leak wanted more than twice that without the asphalt repair, then tried to upsell me on a whole new water main for $40,000. While a majority of plumbers are very honest, it's been my experience that some do upsell or charge an unreasonable amount. The purported purpose of this program is water savings, to curb the 3-month average time to repair for single family residential leaks. But then, why are you allowing up to 90 days or that same 3 months to complete the repair after applications are vetted and approved? Finally, the elephant in the room is that this program is being funded by EUC penalties, unfairly and likely unlawfully levied on only some homeowners in only some areas of the valley. Please rescind the excessive use charges. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Seeing no one, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Ensminger.
Yes, Madam President, the agenda has been properly noticed and posted and is ready for your approval, along with the minutes of your joint meeting of April 27th, 2026.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson to approve the minutes and the agenda. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Items 2 and 3 comprise your consent agenda and may be taken in one motion if the board so chooses.
A motion by Commissioner Gibson for approval. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, please cast your vote. That motion also passes.
Items 4, 5, and 6 are renewals of our collective bargaining agreements with our represented employees. NRS requires me to be very specific here, so if you'll, with your indulgence, I need to be very specific in how I read these into the records. Item 4 asks the Board of Directors to approve the collective bargaining agreement for employees represented by the Las Vegas Valley Public Employees Association, effective July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2031. If approved, payroll cost is estimated to increase by approximately $646,611 $611,000 for fiscal year 26-27. Item 5 asks that the Board of Directors approve the collective bargaining agreement for employees represented by the Water Employees Association of Nevada, effective July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2031. If approved, payroll cost is estimated to increase by approximately $1,083,310 for fiscal year 26-27. I would like to bring to the board's attention, there's a $1,200 discrepancy in the fiscal impact from what was noted on the agenda in your board books. The agreement accurately reflects the amount, but the agenda item contains a math error. Item number 6 asks that the Board of Directors approve the collective bargaining agreement for the employees represented by the Water Supervisors Association of Nevada, effective July 1 through 2026 through June 30th, 2031. If approved, the payroll cost is estimated to increase by approximately $183,420. I would just say, overall, we have a great workforce. I mean, these are the guys and gals out there at 2 in the morning fixing main breaks and making sure water comes out of the tap every single day. They're largely very happy. We have a stable workforce, and I'm happy to bring forth these five-year collective bargaining agreements.
That's a win, 5 years all by itself. Anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
So are you suggesting to us then that we take them individually? Or
no,
that
no,
we do them
all
in a single motion?
They can all be taken in one motion, but there's a public hearing, right? So they can be taken in one motion, but you need to open a public hearing on all three CBAs.
Thank you.
So let me go ahead and open the public hearing. Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. And now I'll entertain a motion.
I move the approval of items 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson to approve the collective bargaining agreements, numbers 4, 5, and 6. Anybody have any comments or questions? Seeing none, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number 7, ask the Board of Directors to approve and authorize the General Manager to sign in substantially the same form as attached hereto, an agreement among Titanium Metals Corporation, the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and the District, outlining a framework for the permanent water service to Titanium Metals Corporation within the Black Mountain Industrial Complex, and addressing the assignment of a portion of Titanium Metals Corporation's Colorado River water rights to the Southern Nevada Water Authority. I want to say, before I turn it to Greg for a little bit of explanation, I really appreciate TIMAT's good stewardship. You know, they have agreed that, you know, any water that they retain that will subsequently be conveyed to anybody else will comply with all of our existing conservation measures. So they've been a good corporate steward. I want to acknowledge that, but I do want to give Greg, who was the plow horse on getting this across the finish line, a chance to address the agenda.
Thank you, John. I should point out that my back feels like I've been a plow horse for a while. I've had a bad back for a week. But let me just say, to put some context on what we've done with TIMAT here, they have about 4,857 acre feet of water on a Colorado River contract that predates ours. They're dedicating 900 acre feet to us, or the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and the remaining 3,957 acre feet, those are the water rights that will now have conservation limitations applied to them that are consistent with the SNWA and other members' limitations. So it was a very productive solution to a problem out there when BMI's intakes went down. So I wanted to thank TIMAT as well. They've been, like John said, a good corporate steward and a good company in terms of our water use in the valley. So my thanks to them.
Okay, anybody have any comments or questions?
If there are none, I move approval of item 7.
Okay, I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson. I don't hear any comments or questions, so please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number 8, ask the Board of Directors to approve and authorize the General Manager to sign a leak repair program funding agreement that will increase customer support payments to eligible homeowners for the detection and repair of purveyor-identified excessive and ongoing leaks in the amount not to exceed $500,000. You know, as the Board is aware, you've previously approved a number of leak repair assistance programs. This is just building upon that. It's been hugely successive, and we believe it should be expanded.
Okay. Anybody have any comments or questions? And I just want to thank DOA, because I have had several constituents go through this process, and they do have to go out for 3 bids. We're seeing consistency, so I've heard nothing but good compliments from the people that have used this.
Madam President, I move approval of the item.
Okay, there's a motion by Commissioner Gibson. Anybody have any comments or questions? No, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number 9, asks the Board of Directors of the Las Vegas Valley Water District, the Board of Trustees of the Coyote Springs Water Resources District, and the Big Bend Water District to conduct a joint public hearing on the tentative budgets for fiscal year 26-27, and by a single combined motion, constituting a separate action of each board, adopt final budgets for each respective district for fiscal year 26-27. So you guys have seen most of this via the budget workshop we did, but one thing I do want to call attention to, the board has approved substantial investment in AMI, and it's really paying dividends. It's really letting us see in real time, you know, where leaks are happening, what water use is happening, and that's contributing a lot to conservation. Overall, as you know, tiered consumption is, you know, the disproportionate amount of our revenue, fairly distributed total uses. Just doing line item by line item, you can see that no particular item has a huge budget to budget variance. So, you know, relatively stable in terms of sources of funds. And same story on uses of funds, with the one exception maybe being debt service. Because we defeased some debt, you see a substantial downtick in the uses of funds for debt service. Turning to our capital budget, we are selling debt this year, which, you know, because we try to do about, you know, between 50-50 and 75-25 debt to PAYGO, happens every couple of years. So that's going on this year. And you can just see developers are paying a lot of the bills, which growth pays for growth, you know, has been the mantra for a long time. So overall, the district has a balanced operating capital budget. Our unrestricted reserves are above our target level. So very healthy financial position for the utility. Turn into Big Bend. I know in December, with the help of Commissioner Naft, we, you know, finally pushed across the finish line, you know, a different financial plan, but it's taking months to get into place. We're still seeing a little bit of a deficit there, but we think, you know, we'll be in the black by the time we bring this to you next year. And then Coyote Springs, not a lot going on. We always put $50,000 in there just in case. But we don't expect a lot of action in that theater this coming year. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? I just want to address two that were brought up during public comment. So we don't have any control over desalinization. I've never said that it's too expensive, right? We don't have that kind of control, but we have invested in the $750 million into other ways, right, to get that water?
I'm happy to answer that question, but I think we do have another public hearing on the budget, and then okay. I'd be happy to answer that question. Okay. So maybe you should open that and close that.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Now you have to open the public hearing.
I wanted to, okay. I'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Anybody want to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing.
Okay.
Okay. Now you can answer my question.
Okay. So, actually, SNWA has an agenda item on Thursday to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the San Diego County Water Authority and the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California to explore water transactions. San Diego has done a lot to invest in desal and ag-to-urban transfers, and so we're out there looking every day. You guys are well aware of the Pure Water Project with Metropolitan, so we are looking to augment the water supply, but these things take years, they cost billions of dollars, and in the meantime, we have to take care of our own house. So, you know, I mean, my response to the public comment would be, yeah, and, right? We're looking for these things, but they're few and far between.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that people know we're not sitting on our hands doing nothing. Any other comments or questions? Okay. I would entertain a motion to, do you want me to approve each budget individually or all at once?
They can be taken in one motion.
Okay.
Then that being the case, Madam President, I move that we adopt them as final budgets.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor by Commissioner Gibson to adopt all three budgets. Any more comments or questions? Seeing none, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
And that concludes your posted agenda.
Okay, this is the second time set aside for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak?
Diane Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. I have a comment and a question. I know you can't respond, but maybe at some future point. It's appalling to me that since 2023, you've collected $96.3 million in excess use charges. You say it's just the top 10% of water users, implying water wasters. But a year or two ago, the RJ quoted that it was over 60,000 customers that had paid those charges. And they really are devastating older neighborhoods that have larger lots, mature landscape, and you've heard this before. I did want to ask a question. I looked on your app yesterday, and I know that repairing leaks quickly saves a lot of money or water, but the app is still at least 3 days behind real time, and I thought $2 million was approved to an accounting firm, I think, Ernst & Young. I may be wrong. I don't have the reference in front of me. I'm sorry, but to update your software to be closer to real time, because 3 days of major water leak, like an underground water main or something you can't see, that's a whole lot of water waste. So I'm wondering where that project is to update your software or whatever that program is, because that would be really helpful to get more real time data to customers. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other?
Laura McSwain again with the Water Fairness Coalition, MCSWAIN. I really, truly, and I'm sincere about this, appreciate Mr. Ensminger's satisfaction and happiness with employees. I'm an employer. I think that's kind of an important relationship. But the Review Journal several years ago did an assessment of the salaries and wages for the Las Vegas Valley Water District, Southern Nevada Water Authority employees. And they found that they're being paid roughly 20% more than the peers in the related industries. I think that is something worth a closer look, and you know, by increasing this collective bargaining agreement, if they're already overpaid, I think that there needs to be some accountability. I did go back into the budget and I compared salaries and wages by department, because that was the only thing that I had to, as a frame of reference. It did have full-time employee equivalents. But the there, with the exception of one department, I believe that was operations, that was just under $200,000. The average wages per these departments is over $200,000. The executive team is clearly way outside that range. And as is the environment, health, safety, and corporate security. Of course, we don't have visibility to the breakdowns of these wages. I just think that, again, it reinforces my concern and desire to have a forensic audit. Regarding the other opportunities for augmenting water, I know that there's the meeting on Thursday that I plan to attend. There's a question on the table as to whether or not an agreement like that is even appropriate. I only bring it up in this setting because many of you are not on that board. And so I, in light of the fact that we have a reduction in our water use coming that we're not fighting against, and I think that we should be fighting, we should be pushing back, we should not be accepting those cuts from the federal government, that there's going to be a serious question as to whether or not this MOU is appropriate. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing, and we are adjourned.